Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Back goes Bradley near the center field fence. That ball is gone. A two-run home run for Wilson Contreras.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
This segment's brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Mike Florio.
Let's bring in Mike Florio here. Joins us on the program.
NBC Sports.
All right, Florio, I know you're probably busy.
Pro Football Talk.
Starts the day, he ends the day with Pro Football Talk. He is Mike Florio.
Within moments, a long national nightmare is apparently coming to an end.
I don't know what you're talking about. You can't trust a quarterback who can't stay healthy.
I wouldn't listen to some of those people out there, especially guys like Mike Florio.
Go to hell with your big brain. Ladies and gentlemen, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi.
How are you, Mike?
On The Score.
Let's go. Mike Florio is here. He is at Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, and ProFootballTalk.com. He joins us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. Hello, Mike. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How are you?
Good. Since we last talked, Sam Darnold got moved for kind of an underwhelming package of picks, and that's just the latest step here with Teddy Bridgewater now apparently becoming trade fodder. What did that move do to move along this unsettled quarterback market?
Well, it does a couple of things. First of all, it most likely takes the Panthers out of play at number 8. I assume that they concluded after looking at the way quarterbacks are going to come off the board to start the process. At number 8, they're really not in a position to get the franchise quarterback that David Tepper covets, so they're willing to roll the dice on Sam Darnold becoming that franchise quarterback. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, they'll move on to their next plan, just like with Teddy Bridgewater last year. Fell in love with him. Teddy Bridgewater was not all that different last year than he'd been any other year of his career. Fell out of love with him and move on to the next option. So they're trying to find somebody. They were blocked in all their attempts to, for example, get Matthew Stafford, trade up to number 3, something they reportedly were trying to do. Deshaun Watson now on hold. They do what they have to do to improve their position, and they'll move forward. And I expect Teddy Bridgewater to be traded somewhere, and if all else fails, he'll be cut by the Panthers before week 1.
I saw that story come across on Pro Football Talk this morning that reportedly multiple teams are interested in trading for Teddy Bridgewater. Who do you think some of the partners could be, and what do you think the likely outcome is?
The three that stand out to me the most are the Broncos, where George Payton is now the GM. He was the assistant GM in Minnesota for years. He should have interest in Bridgewater. To make that happen, though, you got $10 million in fully guaranteed salary for Bridgewater. You got a $17 million total salary. He's going to have to come down to, I think, around $12 million. Maybe the Panthers are going to have to pay some of the $10 million to make it happen. We've seen that before with guys like Ryan Tannehill. But he's going to have to take less, more than the $10 million, less than the $17 million. Opportunity to maybe push Drew Lock and start in Denver. I think Seattle, in the event that there's an unexpected lightning bolt, the next unexpected offseason lightning bolt, which would be a Russell Wilson trade if that happens. And I also think San Francisco makes sense. And at one point there was a report that the 49ers had interest in Bridgewater. If you could dump Jimmy Garoppolo and his $25 million salary and get Teddy for $12 million and let him be the gap between veteran and whenever the number three overall pick is ready to go. That makes sense from a money standpoint, and it also prevents the possibility that you're going to have battle lines drawn in the locker room. You're going to have the Jimmy G guys. You're going to have the Mac Jones or whoever they take guys. You don't want that if you're Kyle Shanahan. You want a guy who knows and who everyone knows and accepts is going to be the starter until the third overall pick is ready, and he happily takes a back seat when that happens. That could be Teddy Bridgewater.
It is always amazing to me the extent to which NFL executives get mesmerized by quarterback draft possibilities. Above and beyond, guys who have played the position in the NFL are still relatively young, and I always like to ask the scouts and scouting experts the questions like, if this Sam Darnold were in this college draft, where would he be taken? Somebody who's already been in the quarterback room, who already has digested an NFL playbook, and nobody, that scouting report that coming out of college on him hasn't really changed all that much, and yet, maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's an investment thing, and maybe it's just a novelty thing that they get intoxicated with the concept of drafting someone just because they can.
I saw a report over the weekend that Zach Wilson is a boom or bust prospect. Of course he is. They all are. And the bust part of it you rarely hear about in the run-up to the draft because it's not good for the business, frankly. We're selling hope. When you talk about the draft, everyone is glass half full because the possibilities are limitless and any of these guys can be the next generational, transformational, we didn't know Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes until he became Patrick Mahomes kind of a player. So I think that's one of the big reasons why this fascination exists with guys who have proven nothing. I mean, think about it. The 49ers ultimately will have given up three first-round picks and a third-round pick for a player who is completely and totally unproven at the NFL level. Why? Because of that hope, that possibility that that guy you get when you scratch off that lottery ticket, it's going to be a jackpot. I think that's what it comes down to. Darnold, he's had 3 years. What's he ever done that's made us say, wow, he's a franchise guy? And I really do think that's the root of it.
Do you also think that maybe we overrate Shanahan when it comes to the idea of him being some offensive quarterback guru too?
Well, it's not the question of whether or not Kyle Shanahan can turn a guy into something more than what he is. It's a question of what do you need to make Kyle Shanahan's offense work? And what you need is a guy, frankly, and Rex Grossman explained this after the lockout ended in 2011 when there was a question as to who the quarterback was going to be that year in Washington. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, and Grossman said, I'm just going to do what Kyle wants me to do. That's how you win the job. You run the offense exactly the way he wants you to run it. Every drop, every read, every hitch, every throw, everything, you do it the way he wants because in his mind, he can draw up a game plan based upon his playbook that will crack the code of the opposing defense every week. What he needs is a quarterback who will run that playbook, who will make those decisions, just as if Kyle's on the sideline with, it used to be a joystick, now it's that controller with 70 buttons on it, but he's basically running the quarterback in his offense, and the quarterback is doing what Kyle would do. That's how you be successful. So he apparently has in mind that whoever's there at number three, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Mac Jones, whether it's Justin Fields, whoever he has in his mind that he wants at three is going to do exactly what he needs, run the offense the way he wants, and in his mind, that's how they're going to win football games.
Meanwhile, we have another chapter in the unfolding saga of Deshaun Watson, and that now the corporations are speaking. Now Nike and Beats by Dre and is it HEB is the big grocery store chain that have all dropped him. And I don't know if you read this piece with Defector.com, Diana Moskovitz, who I just think is a fantastic writer and reporter. And she wrote about Deshaun Watson. She said, what I keep coming back to is how predictable this all is and the bizarre amnesia that sports media continues to allow itself to enjoy. How many sports radio hosts have expressed shock at the lawsuits and proclaimed, why, gosh darn it, what's happening with Watson is complicated. And she said, the faux amnesia, the proclamations of shock, the confusion about what to say are all either performance art or genuine stupidity. And she says, one thing this is not is complicated. It's just how our system and systems work.
Well, and that's right. What we need to do, though, is rewind to how this all got started. And I don't know whether or not Tony Busby is a genius or he just accidentally tripped into a brilliant strategy, because it was a drip kind of a thing. And it started as one case. And people were shocked because of Deshaun Watson's reputation. And it was an anonymous plaintiff. And then it was more anonymous plaintiffs. And Busby made it all about himself. And Busby made some claims that I thought were disingenuous. And I thought he was an impediment to the proper representation of his clients, up to and including last week when he declared, I'm not giving anything to the Houston Police Department because they may have some bias against me. Like they would abdicate their responsibility to the citizenry of Houston and ignore the complaints of more than 20 individuals who believe they were assaulted by Deshaun Watson. And then it all changes on Tuesday when he shows up at a press conference with a name, Ashley Solis, face and voice, who tells in 5 minutes and 15 seconds a compelling story that humanizes this case, that causes the sponsors to cut and run and changes the vibe completely. And if we had started with that, I think people would have reacted differently. But the way it all played out and the way Busby orchestrated it, whether he was doing it deliberately or not, I think that it set the stage for people to have doubts and have questions and have just a nagging feeling that we don't know what this is, even if the case is mounted and it became undeniable that it can't be 22 people lying. But then comes Ashley Solis, and we all get that splash of cold water where we're like, wow, hey, this is real, and it's a problem, and if Deshaun Watson doesn't make some good decisions moving forward, he's not going to play football again for a long time, possibly never again.
Mike, I think you have such a great perspective on this because of the law background, and because of that law background, you also have to study human nature. And I feel like in these cases, when sometimes it's anonymous or the phenomenon of like picks or it didn't happen comes up, what you talk about when we hear the story of an individual and we can personalize it and how that does make people understand so much further. Can you take us through the process of why it is human nature to naturally be skeptical when we don't exactly know what it is yet, and why the civil case being first might have clouded the understanding because we're so used to the procedure of having the police report filed initially or something along those lines?
Yeah, I think it's the distinction between what we know versus what we don't know. And we know Deshaun Watson, he's lived in the public eye for years. We have our opinions as to who he is. I said after the situation first bubbled up 22 days ago, that if I had to make a list of the people in the NFL least likely to be involved in something like this, Deshaun Watson would have been on the short list of guys least likely to have these kinds of allegations. And against that is Tony Busby as the, at times, unfortunate representative of nameless, faceless, voiceless individuals who were exercising their prerogative to proceed in the civil court system without their identities being revealed. And what happened was, as this plays out in the court of public opinion, and as Rusty Hardin, the lawyer for Deshaun Watson, feeds into these narratives, suggesting that maybe some of these people aren't even real. We don't know who these people are. We didn't know who these people are. You know, I made the comment yesterday, they possibly should have been careful what they wished for, because it could be that these questions are what eventually gave Ashley Solis the courage she needed to turn her life upside down. And that's one of the problems I have with Rusty Hardin, suggesting that the existence of pre-litigation settlement efforts in some way shows she's lying when she says it's not just about money. No, you would be willing to resolve your grievance against someone quietly and discreetly if it's going to give you a sense of justice, and justice comes in many forms, without turning your life upside down. But you know what? If you're going to question me, if you're going to doubt me, if my life is going to get turned upside down, then I am going to pursue justice to the full extent. And that's where I think they've stepped into a problem here, by being as aggressive as they were and creating those doubts and feeding into those questions that people have on social media or wherever. Well, who are these people? Well, why are they proceeding anonymously? Here comes Ashley Solis, and everything changes in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. And I think that's the journey that a lot of people went on from that three-week period, only 3 weeks, from the first lawsuit filed anonymously to Ashley Solis coming forward.
With as we're talking about questions, there have been questions about the extent to which Trevor Lawrence's non-throwing shoulder has rehabbed from the labrum procedure that was performed. And coincidentally enough, he's not going to be able to head to the medical facilities in Indianapolis where so many other prospects are being evaluated. And he's getting married. It just coincidence that way. And he said, I'm fine. What's the next step here? Somebody's got to get a look at this thing.
Well, and it's difficult this year because of the pandemic. You can't get your hands on a guy the way that you ordinarily could. I doubt that it's going to affect in any way, shape, or form Jacksonville's intent to take him with the first overall selection coming up here in 3 weeks. Urban Meyer didn't go to Zach Wilson's pro day, and I think in part Urban Meyer didn't want to have any doubt about Trevor Lawrence. It's all been pointing to Trevor Lawrence. The question is, when is the shoulder going to be healthy? Is he going to miss some of training camp? Is he going to be ready to go when the preseason starts? Is he going to be ready to go as of week one? I think ultimately he'll be ready to go, but it is just kind of strange. And either it's a coincidence or when he sat down and picked his wedding weekend, the agent said, hey, this is a good weekend. Hey, if you have any discretion, how about this weekend? Then you don't have to go back and have your shoulder poked and prodded, and maybe they find something that they don't like. And look, the chances of any real issues are slim, but the last thing I'm going to believe is the version coming from the agent that everything is fine, because even if it's not fine, the agent is going to say everything is fine.
We have a developing story when it comes to Philip Adams and the reports via the Associated Press and Pro Football Talk published it as well about him being part of a really disturbing story, killing five people and then himself. A sixth person is reportedly in the hospital with serious gunshot wounds. What's the latest that we know about this as we continue to get more information?
Yeah, what's been reported by the AP and limited information has been disclosed by authorities, and it really is horrific. A doctor who's practiced for 35 years in Rock Hill, South Carolina, him, his wife, two grandchildren, another person shot and killed by Philip Adams, who later committed suicide. And that's really all we know, and it is horrifying at this point. He's a guy who played in the league for several years. It's a name that I frankly didn't recall. There are so many guys who come and go and spend time in the league, but when you see it, it's always a shock. It would have made national news regardless of who was involved, but the fact that it was a former NFL player is going to give it a higher level of notoriety, and we just wait to see what more details are ever going to become available, if any. Who knows how this all plays out and what the story is behind it. And, you know, it's a shame because underpinning so many of these mass shootings is the scourge of mental illness, which is not taken seriously enough by our society. It's still stigmatized. It's treated, I think, I think it's difficult to treat. I don't want to indict the medical profession. I just think it is difficult to treat mental illness. First of all, you have to have people who want to be treated. And the thing that is impairing them is the thing that otherwise would impel them to go get treatment. So it's a major problem in our society, and it seems like once a week we're dealing with one of these issues where multiple people are shot and killed by someone who clearly is dealing with some form of mental illness, and it's extremely unfortunate.
And like you say, the league has never been great, and coaches have never been great about understanding that. Other sports are getting there a little bit when players speak out. The NBA has had some players do it and put a real face on some of this stuff, but more so the NFL when we add in, as hockey is understood too, when we add in head trauma and what that can do in post-career and how that can exacerbate the same kind of mental health problems to which we're all vulnerable, and even those who haven't played football.
The hardest thing for people to do is to acknowledge, number one, that they need help, and then number two, to open up to someone that they have to find a way to get help. And hopefully as time passes, that wall gets torn down and people realize that there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a sign of weakness. If anything, it is a sign of inner strength that you're able to acknowledge the situation and that you're willing to enter into a process that has to be confusing, if not terrifying, as to what's going to happen to me once they start trying to figure out what's wrong with me and attempting then to get me well. But I just hope we get to a point where people embrace that the same way they'd embrace going to the doctor when they have a cut that needs to be stitched or an arm that needs to be put in a cast.
I think we are getting to a better place with it just simply because more people will ask the question, what really happened here? Like, it's not so much just a snap judgment of, oh, this person's a criminal, or, oh, this person has X issue. There's more to it than that. I do think that the general public is a little more open to that idea.
I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah, I definitely hope so. And I look, these tragedies all seem like they could have been prevented in multiple different ways without getting into the gun conversation. But obviously, that's part of it. But the mental health side of it, before it gets to the point where people feel desperate and they have no other choice and the demons take over, I just hope it becomes as knee-jerk as, I think something's wrong with my arm, I'm going to call my doctor and go get checked out.
Mike Florio, appreciate it as always. Thank you very much.
Thanks. See you.
That is Mike Florio. We're going to talk to Liam Hendricks. He had to move to 1040. So you got your opportunity to be salty about something to start the show. Can I have the floor next?
Of course.
Because we have a Cubs issue that I've got to get to here. Because this is, you talk about grinding somebody's gears on something here. There's a tweet that I've absolutely got my blood boiling. And I'm going to get to it next on The Score.
Cubs fans, before each game, tune into the Nissan pregame show right here on The Score. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
You know what really grinds my gears?
All right. It doesn't take much to ruin my day right here.
That's why I host with him.
I can't. And then you get the Twitter effect of all of this. But our own Bruce Levine just tweeted the following. Cubs David Ross said the players are still not at 85% vaccinated. He said some have come around to taking it, while others are still going through the educational process. What in holy hell are we doing here? The educational process is not your wife's TikTok. The educational process is not Facebook. The education is done. Ask your doctor. You have team doctors. There's no excuse. You have actual MDs employed by the team on multiple levels. There is no educational process. Get your damn vaccination. Get it because it's good for you. It's good for your family. It's good for everyone. The vaccine is safe and it works. There is no reason not to. Your educational process should be over the moment you ask a doctor, should I get vaccinated? Here's your flowchart. Should I get vaccinated against COVID? Yes. End of process. Done. The educational process is not some meme. It's not something that leads back to that British Dr. Wakefield, as they all do. It's not TikTok. It's not something your kids saw on Instagram. You've got a doctor. Get vaccinated against COVID. It's the only way we end this thing. Stop this stupidity already. For the love of God, grown-ass men. You got every medical opinion at your disposal right there. People who went to medical school. God, it's enough. It's enough. It's settled science. Get it. Will they change it every, will they reformulate it every year? Yeah. Might there be boosters? Yeah. Are they learning more about it as we go? Yeah. The only way we get out of this, the only way, is through science. It's not through drinking flax oil that you ordered from somewhere. God darn it.
There was another way to get out of it, and that was to prevent it from replicating due to procedures that we decided we didn't want to follow. But this is a much easier way.
I mean, that is just, this is, get it. This is not this isn't some sort of fashion. This isn't politics. It's science. It's science. Get vaccinated because it's the right thing to do for yourself. It's the right thing to do for other people also. Other people matter.
Similar to wearing protective coverings when you don't know which bullets in your system may or may not be firing. Just saying.
I'll never understand it. I will never understand where any of these idiots are coming from with things that they made up.
I will say, yeah, I know. If you follow Peter Hotez, who has written countless books, he's a doctor out of Houston and one of the biggest research facilities there is in the world. And he talks about having a book title called No Vaccines Did Not Give Your Child Autism and the damage that that has done in the anti-vaccine movement. And follow the money. Follow the money when it comes to your anti-vaccine movement.
They're just ask your doctor. And here are the 630. Yeah, Dan, you're not a doctor. Shut your mouth. Ask yours. Ask your doctor. Ask your medical doctor.
And just remember, the transmitter is your phone. There's no way you can put a transmitter into liquid like that. It's just not the case. However, all the information you've given on your phone is probably a little more, not only direct because you updated your app and accepted the terms of service, but that is a proven way to actually follow you. And let's face it, at the end of the day, we're just not that interesting.
And
like, you want to see how many times I Google sports stuff? I'm all right with that.
There is no reason to not get vaccinated. There is no reason to, given the first opportunity you get, the first vaccine that's available, whether it's Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson one shot or the Pfizer, when you have the opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity. There is no reason not to.
And
can get our lives back.
And it's also the idea of, to me, like a principle of conservatism being, I shouldn't be somebody else's problem. If you think about it from that respect, like, I would hate the fact that I got somebody else sick in anything. If I came to work sick, if I knew I was contagious, I don't want to be somebody else's problem. So the way I see it is, think about it that way. Your actions shouldn't have to be paid for by somebody else.
The fact that the Chicago Cubs, with all that they have at their disposal, with all the information that they have in their workplace, with all of the medical help that they have, the people who work for the team, the fact that the Cubs still say some have come around, but others are going through the educational process? What process? What the hell process are we talking about here?
I had a friend in
this Austin. Is insane.
I had a friend in Austin who really took one for the team. She was part of the Moderna trial. And she's okay. She's fine. She's on Facebook, though, which means somebody has her data.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And with that said, I'm not going to be here tomorrow because I am getting my second Pfizer shot today, immediately after the show. And I'm wary that some older people tend to do okay, and I guess it would qualify as the older people, but some people get kind of knocked down their butt for 24 hours or so after. So I'm gonna play it safe tomorrow and try to lay low.
Just do me a favor. If you're so anti the vaccine, just follow the money. Follow the money. See who doesn't want you to get it and why.
Because they want more of your money.
But nobody deserves to be played. But the last thing I want to do is be somebody else's problem.
Liam Hendricks is going to join us next. Talk White Sox baseball on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
Chicago White Sox closer Liam Hendricks joins us.
Liam Hendricks comes out to pick up an inning.
Like post-game, most people are drinking the hydration drinks. I'm sitting here with a dog's pebble.
Checked his swing, went around. Liam's already off the mound.
White Sox closer Liam Hendricks.
1-2. He struck him out. Hendricks, that strut that's going to become popular, you would imagine.
It's like a normal person doesn't drink coffee at night, where I drink a coffee to go to sleep.
1-2. He struck him out.
Where did you find Ruby the tarot reader?
She was able to kind of get a couple things into my head that realized that I was thinking very negatively upon every situation, where it was always like, well, why did this happen to me? Not, how do I get past? Took a positive mindset into absolutely everything, and now it's, you don't think I can do this? Watch me.
Quite the interesting save situation for Liam Hendricks to jump into.
Liam Hendricks with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
You don't think I can do this? Watch me.
On The Score.
I'd like to watch him more, in fact. I'd like to see him out there. Liam Hendricks, the South Florida, joins us on the Al Pamonte Nissan Hotline. Al Pamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue at apnissan.com. Liam, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Are you feeling okay? There's a little bit of a health scare there since we last talked. You know, we were kind of having fun with your coffee consumption and your Dr. Pepper. Did your doctor say maybe a little more hydration wouldn't be so bad?
Yeah, I'm strictly on a 1-to-1 ratio now, so I can still drink them. I just have to make sure I chase it with the water.
I feel like that's a fair way to do things. How's the water intake going? Have you found it difficult to put into the routine?
Well, I feel a lot more bloated all the time now because I've tried to keep the caffeine intake at the same level, which is making it tough because that's a lot of water. But we'll figure it out at some point. It's all in that equilibrium.
So Tony La Russa kind of fell on his sword after recognizing yesterday that the game got away from him a little bit regarding the bullpen. How does the communication work from, as you have observed it, between bullpen and dugout, between pitching coach and manager, between individual pitchers, just to know sort of who's where, who's expected to go where and when, and how plans can change in the circumstances of a game?
So the good thing is, like, most of the guys now, we know what our, like, semi-role is. So if, like, there's a chance you're going to get in, people start stretching out in the bullpen. And then they've given us a pretty good amount of time for the most part, getting ready and getting loose for an inning. But a couple times it's been a little bit rushed, but that's how things go. The game changes so quickly. Sometimes you need to make that snap judgment on the fly. But, yeah, we're already down there for the phone to ring. And as soon as the phone rings, it's not going to take us too long to get into the game.
So if it's a tie ball game, for example, because we had that happen the other day, where it could potentially go into extras, where do you see yourself fitting into that?
Whenever the phone, like I said it to Tony, like, look, I'm going to be down there no matter what. If the phone rings, the phone rings. You're the manager. You're the guy who's done this for a lot longer than I've been alive. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I need to be this or I need to be that. This is completely his decision, and we're going to stand by absolutely everything he does. But, if at any time the phone rings, I'll be ready, whether it's the fifth inning, whether it's the 15th inning, I'll be ready no matter what.
How much time do you know you need? I always think about that we always assume, oh, get a guy up because he can be ready. And some guys can feel warm and feel ready and get the feel on all the pitches they need faster than others. As you have developed as a reliever, are you pretty standard as far as warming time?
So it varies because obviously if they call and say, hey, how quickly can you get ready? I'm going to say the next batter. That's just my mindset. Like it'll take me 3 pitches to get loose off a mound and then I'm good to go. But in saying that, I prefer not to have 3 and I prefer to have a little bit more. Like the one in, if I had been warming up in that in between inning in Anaheim, the game I actually did pitch in, if I had been warming up in between innings, I probably would have thrown about 30 pitches out there because I don't really have an off button, and because they were one pitch away from getting out of it at all times, it was kind of that situation where I need to make sure I'm close. But, it goes back and forth. I mean, I don't need too long to get ready, but I take a little bit.
Liam, not only are you ready to pitch at any time, but you also are ready to battle for your teammates. I love this story of you. Did you negotiate with the fan to get Jose Abreu's 200th home run ball? Did you fight with them? Tell me about what happened, and does he have the ball yet?
So what had happened was, the home run went above our bullpen, so we're yelling at everybody. Our entire bullpen, it wasn't just me involved in this, but our entire bullpen was kind of trying to get either that fan's attention or another fan to get that fan's attention, just be like, hey, look, is there anything you want? What can we do? Well, hey, we'll flick you up a couple more balls if you give us this one. This is an important one. Well, he wouldn't come over. I honestly think it was the kind of misinterpretation. I think he was probably excited that he caught his first like home run ball. And then when the situation got explained to him, it settled itself out. But I went and made sure to tell the baseball ops department, look, ask him whatever he wants. I'll take care of it. Whether it's a jersey, whatever it is, you find me, I'll take care of it. It'll be on his back by the time go down to guest services. It'll be on his back by the time he leaves tonight. I'll make sure it happens. But luckily we were able to figure it out. I don't know where the ball currently is, but the fan was able to get a signed ball from one of the Mariners players, and I think he's pretty happy with that. So
that was the exchange, was a signed ball from Mariner. That's a brilliant move.
Well, I mean, obviously we're in Seattle, so I'm assuming he's a Mariners fan. I mean, you got to throw that out there. I mean, we know Sox Nation runs around a little bit, but I'm assuming it's a Mariners guy.
I'm wondering if the pitchers can get together and put together an official letter that is presented to the White Sox defense, signed by all the pitchers, that says something to the effect of, listen, you stupid bastards, pick the damn ball up so we can stop giving away outs so we can get out of some of these innings, because it's getting frustrating to watch.
Well, I mean, at some point you'll see me randomly throw a ball away, so I mean, it's, you got to pick your battles, but no, cause for concern with our defense. I think you look at it last year, well, we were a top five defense here over here last year. I think it's just a matter of time before that comes back. And I mean, we're out there making sure we pick each other up. If a play doesn't get made, it means that I just got to make a pitch, and that's what happens.
Have you ever caught yourself glaring at a fielder, though? Maybe in a moment of weakness and just kind of giving a guy a look, or maybe harumphing around on the mound?
Formerly, I used to a lot, and that was part of my whole mantra of reacting negatively to adverse experiences. So it's since I've changed, since I've kind of got that positivity mindset, I'm like, okay, look, now I get to work with a runner on for once.
You have to tell us about this picture day shoot you did for Photo Day, where I think are those Eloy Jimenez's batting gloves, and then you have the hat on and the sunglasses, and you've got the bat.
Yeah, so I borrowed a Tim Anderson bat that he has kept reminding me that he got a single off me in the playoffs last year. And then I keep telling him I'm not scared of a flat or right. So the witty band is there. But yes, I got a helmet. I got Eloy's batting gloves, Tim Anderson's bat. I had the Evo shield on both my shin and my elbow. I like to have fun with Photo Day. So you may as well. Like last year I did the entire photo shoot with a bucket hat on. It's just, and then if there was me kind of standing a little bit, lying on the bench in Arizona with the A's, lying like Kate Winslet from Titanic, saying, draw me like one of your French girls kind of thing. So you got to have fun with it. And the Jack Parkman vibes I've gotten before, so I figured I may as well kind of dive into that one a little bit.
We were just joking about that line from Titanic. I'm so happy that you brought it up. Do you have any ideas for future photo days? Should we like start crowdsourcing this now, maybe hockey stick next time? How can we assist?
I've already got the hockey stick. I already got that in the back. I've got my hockey stick. I've got my little kind of skills little board that you have to kind of take the puck over the light for your stick handling stuff. So I've got that. But yeah, I'm always up for just pushing the limit a little bit. But I got they always edit the funny ones first. So my wife is like, "What are you doing? Take a real photo so we can put it on social media instead of you acting like a idiot with a batting helmet and red batting gloves on." Like, what are we doing?
Well, if you can't act like an idiot, what's the point? I mean, if you can't entertain yourself, I mean, you might as well.
Hey, I mean, if you can't talk to yourself and make yourself laugh, what's the point?
I do understand wanting at least one normal photo, just because.
Oh, no, we got them in a couple days, but it was just that one, because all the first ones that came through were all me wearing a helmet and batting gloves and home run stances. So it's, she goes, I can't post that. This is your first official photo with the new team, and you're doing that.
How's settling into life with the White Sox, just in general, how the transition is going with this new team, and how comfortable you're feeling with these guys after spring training and now sort of starting out on the road?
It's been good. Obviously, the schedule worked out really well this year, because obviously we're in Phoenix. It's a shorter flight to L.A. from there, so we were able to knock off two of the West Coast teams without the long flight, so that was great. I'm excited about being home. I'm excited about pitching in front of the White Sox fans and at Guaranteed Rate Stadium or Field or whatever it's called. I'm excited about being in the city and being around these guys. But these guys have been great. Like me and Tim Anderson, we had to be told to quiet down a couple of times because we just kept going back and forth and back. And this is 6 o'clock in the morning. We had a good 4-hour run where we didn't shut up the entire time. So me and him are going along well. I just make fun of Giolito because it's just so easy. And then, everything else is just, it's good. It's a good group of guys in here. There's a couple new ones, which is nice. But everyone's meshing really, really well, which I'm excited about.
Well, you mentioned Giolito, and I just got word from our friend Chris Rose over at John Boy Media that you and Giolito did the podcast together. And I understand that you expanded on the tarot card reader story you told us. So yep. What is Giolito like as a broadcast buddy? And then also, what did you guys talk about?
So first off, I love Rosie. Rosie does a great job. I was ecstatic to be invited into that with Gio and him. And it was pretty cool. But Yeah, I think he's good. I think there's certain times he needs to just take initiative a little bit more, but he's got the right game plan. He's got the right idea. It's just a matter of building that confidence. But yeah, the things we spoke about, which is the normal stuff, like how pretty much angry I am all the time on the field, how I'm not angry at all off the field, how my personality kind of differs a little bit, and then I made fun of pouting Gio, who when he gets on the mound and he gets all sad and angry and stuff. And then, we delved into the tarot card thing a little bit more, just about like how we met and how Ruby and I, like her sister is actually, she's actually kind of living with us right now. So Diana, they're good people.
I understand that one of those triggers for Giolito, we've seen it before, at least in history, is the back-to-back walks. So I'm not trying to help you with this, but I'm not trying to help you with this. Just keep an eye out for that one, I think.
Yeah, I think his biggest thing is like, I don't want to mess with him when he's actually on the mound, but I'll make fun of him after he's done where he can't think about it too much. So that's my thing. And then his scattering report's great. He just plays MLB The Show against the team we're playing a couple times, and that's his scattering reports.
It works.
Yeah, right. Hey, Liam, is the flooding still an ongoing problem in Australia? Because it just seems like, you know, keeping track of the number of natural disasters, if it's not wildfires, it's flooding. And it just seems that, unfortunately, because our world's on fire, so much is going on negatively down there. Are people okay?
I'm on the West Coast, so we haven't had the flooding over there. It's been more of the East Coast, which unfortunately gets the wrath of everything because they get the wildfires that are a little bit worse. They get the floods. They get everything. And I know there was a lot going on earlier. As far as I know, it's starting to recede a little bit, but obviously the aftermath is where everything comes through, more importantly, of making sure everyone is out there supporting everyone. But the good thing about Australia is we're a resilient country. We've bounced back from a lot of things in the past, and this is just another step in that road that we're going to kind of look back on and be like, no, we banded together. We made sure that everyone in our community was fine, and this is the kind of personality traits that Australians are known for.
Okay, you've piqued my curiosity. What have these conversations with Tim Anderson been like? Because we love seeing everything he's doing outwardly in the media, too.
Yeah, so it's a lot of him telling me that he got me last year because he hit a flare. It's a single. And then I go back and forth about how he has his logo on absolutely everything, which is getting to be a little bit ridiculous. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of a flare to right. Look at the regular stuff. I think he's maybe 1-for-8 with a couple strikeouts in there. So I've got him covered in the regular season. He just happened to just make contact on one ball in the playoffs and good for you. But, yeah, it's just a lot of back and forth about just yelling at each other. You know, the usual.
Witty banter.
Well, Liam, happy home opener, and I hope the weather allows you to get the game in and you can be in front of the home fans for the first time.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So if any fans are listening, come wave at me in the bullpen. I'll be there.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Liam. Liam Hendricks, White Sox closer, our guest on Bernstein and Rahimi. You were at the Cub game yesterday, and we saw Ian Happ trying to award Jack Peterson a waffle iron, and we had more of this offensive constipation that has just become something we've unfortunately had to get used to. So we got to fix the Cubs next, I think.
Yeah, more rants.
It's been a day of that, has it not?
Liam Hendricks was our palate cleanser.
Yeah, it's like the intermezzo. We get a little bit of like a grapefruit flavored sorbet, perhaps, or Vegemite flavored in this case.
I'm happy he's here.
I am too. I wish they'd use him more. You got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.